You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. Looking ahead to the action on Monday, the 5th of March, and all things being well, we will at long last have the return of Jumps Racing after what's felt like a bit of a winter break with the conditions over the past few days. As things stand, Sutherland and Lingfield are slated to host jumping cards on Monday afternoon. Hopefully they both get the go-ahead. I don't think there should be any problems at Sutherland in particular. Kempton, they've also got an all-weather meeting on the poly track in the afternoon, and Wolverhampton in the evening. It's live on Racing Radio, and Gordon Brown, Kevin O'Malley and John O'Connell are in the studio from 10 to 2 in the afternoon. Join them online or on the app, but for now on the podcast, my name is John Gibby. I'm joined by Paddy Aspel. Hello, Paddy, how are you?
How are you doing, John?
Yeah, good, good. You've been away over winter, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been to Kuwait, just came back on Monday.
Yeah, fantastic. How was that?
Yeah, it was good. It was different. We just talked to the guys earlier about it in the other studio. And no, it was good. I enjoyed it. It was different, and rode 11 winners, about 150 rides. So, and it was quite busy. It was just all dirt racing, left-handed. But they were quite busy because there was four tracks with five different racing clubs. So, you know, you're racing 5 days a week. And
yeah,
also got to ride, you know, in Arab races, which I hadn't done before, and rode some Arab winners also. So, yeah, it was different and I enjoyed it. Managed to earn a few quid because you were probably about on a par, really, because you weren't earning much more, and the riding fees were only about 50 quid.
Right.
Compared to over here, it's double that. But you were getting plenty of rides. Prize money wasn't too bad, but your expenses were literally zero.
Yeah.
Zero, because you had no valet fees. It's more expensive to buy a bottle of water than it is to fill your car up with petrol. It was crazy. I mean, it cost you about 6 quid to fill your car to the rim.
That's crazy.
I enjoyed going to the petrol station and just telling them to fill it up and give them like 3 dinar, you know. expenses were nil. And like I said, Kuwait's only a small little country, so you didn't actually have to travel more than half an hour to each track. So in the end, you'd probably come out on a par money-wise. So,
yeah.
You know, and obviously the weather was a little bit kinder also.
So,
I can't complain.
Left-handed on dirt, was it quite similar to US racing then?
I suppose it was. It was, in a way. A couple of the tracks were very deep.
Right.
A couple of the tracks would have made Southern look like a quick surface.
Wow.
There were really, one of the tracks in particular, for me, it was just too deep. It was physically very difficult for a horse to gallop on it.
Right.
So it only suited a very small minority of horses. But a couple of the track in the city in Massilia was a lovely track, and our own track where I was based in Farwania, lovely surface, slightly deeper, but a very, very fine dirt, so it didn't actually ride that deep, and it was quite good. Kickback wasn't too bad, but they were different because a couple of the tracks had very long back straights and home straights with sharp bend, with, you know, your two sharp ends, whereas the other two tracks were sort of shorter run-ins with more sweeping bends.
Right.
So although we were on dirt left-handed, they were different as well in their own ways, you know. But it was an experience. I don't know if I'd go back again to Kuwait.
Yeah,
I'd maybe like to go somewhere. Kuwait for me is still a little bit behind the times, racing wise and prize money wise for sure. But look, it was certainly different because it was the first winter I'd ever been away, and it was something different, you know. And it's all experience, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. Well, good that you enjoyed yourself while we've been freezing ourselves over here in over the winter. And you've picked out two selections for us from Monday's racing. I believe they both come from Wolverhampton.
Wolves, yeah.
Yeah, so what's the first one?
The first one was, I've gone for an Adam Kirby double, and it's American Patrol for Neil Mulholland. Now, the one thing about this is they're a partnership that when he calls an Adam Kirby, generally it's for one that will get well punted. Now, whether that's because of the Adam Kirby factor or any, but it's probably not, because generally they've got a pretty decent strike rate together, Adam Kirby and Neil Mulholland, and when they go for one, they generally don't miss the target, as American Patrol sort of comes under that category. Also, last time the money came from, and he duly obliged off a mark of 54. I mean, he's obviously got more on his plate tomorrow, but Adam Kirby is booked again, and he retains the cheap pieces, and you know, he's only four, this chap, so you know, he's pretty low mileage. And Neil Mulholland, for me, you know, he operates just as well under both codes. He's well able to train a flat horse as well as a jumper, and I think the lads will be going back for another bite of cherry tomorrow, and I think they you know, they could go back to back.
American Patrol then, a winner at Wolverhampton last time out, over a little bit shorter. It's a selection of Paddy to go and complete a track double in the 6:45, and your other selection running 2 hours later.
Yeah, it was the second Adam Kirby one for Phil McAdey, Bernie's boy. I mean, I do think he operates pretty well at some of the other tracks. He has run well at Wolverhampton, but he's not actually run that many times at Wolves, but seems to probably save his best for challenge for the Linkfield. But that said, he's run okay here. And I mean, mark wise he's just about probably on his limit, but you know, Phil's gone to the trouble of booking Adam Kirby to ride him tomorrow. Similar comment applies, you know, when he fancies one, he will put Adam up, you know, and as most trainers do, because he's just such a top man on the all-weather. But this horse has been very, very consistent, probably hasn't won the amount of races he maybe should have, but that said, it won't crib him too much, because for a horse, you know, of his ability, he's done quite well. Phil McAdey, who's had a pretty, you know, he's had a good winter, places his horses very well, and you know, he likes to use apprentices and take some weight off their back, but this time he's opted to put Adam on, and which would tell you even more that he means business. And like I said, off his mark, he hasn't got an awful lot of room to manoeuvre, but I still think he's reasonably competitive. And the fact that Adam Kirby, who's got a good book of rides at Wolverhampton tomorrow, he could have a very good day actually, and I think he could do the business there.
Yeah, top of weather jockey, obviously, Adam Kirby. And this source, you alluded to his form on Polytrack. He has only won on Polytrack on the all weather, but he's placed on Tapestry, also placed on Fibre Sand in the past. Yeah. So does seem to go on all.
He does, he does. I mean, the fact of the matter is, I can't really say, oh, he doesn't like Wolverhampton, because he's not actually turned up there that much.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the race that Phil McAdey got him out, I think it was like a three-horse race and he finished second. But that said, he generally spends most of his time at Chelmsford or Linkfield, so I wouldn't really have the track down as a negative, to be honest. So I wouldn't really have much worries on that front either.
Bernie's boy runs at 8:45 and is the other selection for Paddy at Wolverhampton on Monday evening. The full meeting live on Racing Radio, as with all the day's action. But we can't escape it, Paddy. We know you're obviously a largely a flat man, but we're not too far away from the biggest one of all over jumps, the Cheltenham Festival, just over a week away now. And picked out a couple of horses that you think are of interest heading into the festival.
Yeah, they're probably a little bit more left field, some of the races that won't be talked about as much as the, you know, the main targets. But we spoke about it yesterday, and I mentioned two horses that I've been impressed with. Both horses I really hope win for Connections, because I think it'll be massive. The first one was Did They Leave You Out Too for Nick Gifford in the Champion Bumper, because Leighton won on this horse on his debut at Linkfield. Now, the Linkfield bumpers, as a lot of the all-weather bumpers, they're not truly run events. And this one wasn't that truly run either. But the one thing about this race was, this horse, he just kept quickening. Once Leighton asked him, now, I've not spoke to Leighton about the horse, and I don't know anything about him, but well, just visually from what I seen, he won by 10 lengths. But when he asked him to quicken, he quickened, and he kept quickening all the way to the line. Now, look, I know it's a different surface. It's an easier surface, and it's especially for a jumper, will find it easier to quicken on that surface than you would to quicken out of maybe soft turf, you know? So you've got to take that into perspective. But another horse that I always remember Leighton speaking about was, you know, his old horse who died at Cheltenham, his horse who won the National for him.
Manny Clouds.
Yeah, Manny Clouds. When he won his bumper at Wetherby. Same now, I mean, this horse obviously turned out to be, you know, a 4 mile stare, but he had the ability and the class to win a bumper.
Yeah.
And when he won his bumper, the reason Leighton liked this horse from the very outset was the way he kept quickening. You know, for a jumping bred horse who stays, you know, and he was visually impressive, and he just kept quickening over the last two furlongs right to the line. And for a National Hunt bred horse who stays a trip, you know, and like I say, gets a distance to do that, that just shows an awful lot of natural ability. Now, and that's one thing this horse did for me at Linkfield that day. But on his second run at Ascot, which I didn't actually see, I just read about it, but he was stepped up markedly in grade. And, you know, he didn't let connections down. You know, he improved from his debut run. Obviously, he didn't win as impressive, but still, it was a pretty decent race. It was an Ascot bumper. And, you know, connections were chuffed to bits with him. And the thing about Nick Gifford is he's never had the numbers that his dad would have trained, but... You know, JP McManus has always been good enough to most years. He would send him a horse. And they've certainly, for me, from what I've seen so far, they've got a good one here. Yeah. And obviously, yeah, look, it's the Cheltenham bumper. And you know, we've seen some serious animals win this race and go on to much better things. And obviously, it's going to be a very competitive race. But I don't think the strength in depth with the Willie Mullen recruits this year in the bumper department is just as strong as what it has been in previous years.
Yeah.
So that for me just gives a little bit of an advantage to Nick Gifford's horse, and it's just going to be interesting. Look, if he's a little bit wet behind the ears for a race like this, well, so be it. But I don't think he will lack for ability when it comes down to it, and I've got fingers crossed for connections, because you know it'd be a massive winner for someone like Nick Gifford, and just from what I've seen of the horse, I've taken quite a liking to him. You know,
did they leave you out too? Potentially want to note in the champion bumper. It's currently 6-1 at time of recording with us here at William Hill. The champion bumper, of course, Grade One up at 5:30 on the Wednesday of the Cheltenham Festival. And the other horse of note for you, Paddy, is in the Stayers Hurdle.
Yeah, it's same thing. I mentioned him yesterday, and he was a Northern horse, Sam Spinner, for Jed O'Keefe and Joe Colliver. And I don't think he's great value at 5-1, because look, he's, you know, I know he's improved no end this year, but James Millman made a good point yesterday that, you know, his Chepstow run in a handicap was where he was beat was disappointing. But, you know, I mean, since then he's gone from strength to strength. I mean, he absolutely pulverised them at Haydock, and Joe Colliver actually got a ban because he was using the stick unnecessarily, because on the day conditions were, you know, typical Haydock conditions when it gets very deep around there. It was survival of the fittest. But one thing Sam Spinner was doing was he was keeping going, and you know, he's seen his race out very strong, and same thing at Ascot last time. But probably the biggest thing for me was after he had a gallop at Jed O'Keefe, took him to Newcastle and let him have a spin round on the all weather there a couple of weeks ago. But when he was asked about him, he said, yeah, he's been doing his winning just recently from the front, but he said this horse for me he's not an out and out front runner. You can ride him from where you want.
Yeah.
And he said Joe Colliver is being a big factor in the horse because he knows him like the back of his hand, and he knows when the horse is in top gear, and he knows when he's travelling comfortably. So he said he'll just sit wherever he's happy, because if you're going to Cheltenham in a competitive race like they all will be, if you are on an out and out front runner, you're very, very limited. I mean, your chance for me is very limited, because no doubt your hand is going to be forced. There's going to be early pace. There's going to be other horses that want to be amongst the early pace and want to go forward. And if your horse doesn't like to be headed or get in behind a horse, chances are you're going to be going two strides quicker than you'd ideally like. So, but with Sam Spinner, Jed O'Keefe, you know, he just said this horse can, he'll be ridden wherever he's comfortable. Joe knows him well. He travels well. He jumps well. And, you know, at Ascot again, yeah, the ground was better, so he was going to see his race out quite nicely. But I just thought he was very strong to the line. And, you know, he's an improving horse, there's no doubt. And I mentioned yesterday that Jed O'Keefe, you know, we don't associate him every Saturday with these so-called big name or better Saturday horses, he's he's maybe going to go under the radar a little bit, but his price doesn't reflect that.
Yeah,
his price reflects his chance.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just think I'd like to see him maybe seven, something like that, just because, you know, at the end of the day, it's a very high class race, a competitive race, and he's got some good horses there in opposition. But I think this is this is a 5 year old who's, for me, he's still on the up.
Yeah,
he's going to have to come forward again, but I think there's every chance he can, and I hope for connections that he does, and he goes there with a very, very live chance.
That performance at Ascot last time in the long walk, I thought was particularly impressive, because you had all the impressions in the Haydock run that he was just a sort of horse that had waded through the mud best, and that the margin of victory in particular looked very, very exaggerated. Mm-hmm. But he's come out next time in the long walk. Not only has he won on a sounder surface, but look at the horses in behind. Lamy Surge, you know what I mean, Harry, Little Rockefeller. You know what I mean, Harry and Little Rockefeller, both placed in the stairs hurdle last season.
Yeah, and the thing about Ascot was... They all put it up to him. They all put it up to Sam Spinner that day. So there was absolutely, there was no fluke or luck or anything. They put it up to him, and he put the race to bed quite nicely. And you know, I think it was only then that probably people started to realise that, you know, this horse is starting to look the real deal. And like I said, he's only five. He's a very, very young jump horse, but he's on a real upward curve, and I think he's in very good hands. Like I say, an awful lot of people might know Jed O'Keefe very well, or have heard an awful lot about him, but Jed O'Keefe is a very capable trainer, and like the same comment applies as to what I said about Neil Mulholland earlier. He can train a horse under both codes just as well. He can train a nice horse on the flat, and you know, he can train a good one over jumps. So I've got my fingers crossed for him, because it would be a massive win for the North. Or for Jed, because you know, Jed's had his own health issues down the years, and he's gotten over them, thank God. And you know, as we know, Joe Colliver's had his own issues that he's done very well to come back from, because you know, riding ability certainly is an issue with Joe, and training ability also would be no issue for Jed. So it would be a bit of a fairy tale story, and be one I would be very, very happy to see.
Sam Spinner, one potentially to note in the Stayers Hurdle for Paddy Aspel. The Cheltenham Festival is live on William Hill's Racing Radio all 4 days, online and on the app. Full commentaries on every single race. Hope you enjoy it, Paddy. Hope you enjoy the Cheltenham Festival. And thanks for joining us on the podcast.
No worries.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.